John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Oh, wow. Ryan Porth is sprinting down the hall. What? The Reds are on the radio? What? Kurt Casale, friend of the show. Let's start right out of the gates, Kurt. We asked this question that we don't have the answer to. Do you play fantasy football? Do baseball guys play fantasy football?
I sure do. I'm the reigning champion of the Reds Fantasy Football League last year.
Oh, really? Well.
This year is not going so hot, though. I can tell you that.
Well, there's a lot of injuries, as we're finding out.
It's just a weird season from just a lot of standpoints. You know, the whole Melvin Gordon thing, Antonio Brown, and then you got these, you know, quarterbacks coming out of nowhere with, you know, Lamar Jackson. It's incredible. I mean, it's very interesting, but just really hard to predict this year, and clearly I was wrong going into the draft night.
So you don't feel comfortable right now talking about back-to-backs, no?
You know what? Never say never. I'm going to have to grind it out just like I did last year, but I won't ever count myself out. It's just going to be a little bit more of a challenge than it was this year, but you know, maybe recap and get back with me in a couple of weeks, and I might have a different tone in my answer.
Yeah, that's a good point. You had to challenge injuries, and those are always challenging, right? Because it's never fast enough. So we haven't talked to you in a while. So how would you put this season in a capsule for you personally?
I'm proud of the season I put together. You know what, I know this. This was actually my first start to finish year in the big leagues, and you know, just chopping, nice, you know, month to month back, you know, for the past 5 years, and you know, it for me, I'm proud of that. You know, obviously, I got injured just shortly after the All-Star break. I sprained my MCL, and that kind of stunk, but. It kind of became a, you know, I keep saying the word grind, but it was a grind for the rest of the year just to try and, you know, play through some pain. But overall, I feel pretty good about it. From a personal standpoint, yeah, I feel good. From a team perspective, yeah, we underachieved. And, you know, I'm excited to see what we do going into this offseason. And, you know, just can cross my fingers and hope that I'm a part of that plan.
Well, congratulations, by the way, on your start to finish.
Thanks.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
That is really cool. When you watched last night, that's tough to watch, right? Probably a little bit of it. When you see rookie, you know, make that mistake, and you know, it'll whatever. Even if he says all the right things, you just know privately it'll probably haunt him for a long time. But what was your takeaway from last night's crazy finish?
That was hard to watch, just because, you know, it could have happened to anybody. And you know, it probably would have been better if it happened to somebody with, you know, a lot of experience on that team, like a veteran. But, man, for Grisham to have that happen to him in that situation, it just, you know, kind of just like it hurts my heart a little bit for the guy. But, you know, he's a nice person. I've played against him for a couple months now, and he's a tremendous player. He's a big league player. And it just, I don't know what was going through his head. I can only just, you know, offer my sympathy for the guy, and you know, hopefully he bounces back. And I'm sure that whole city of Milwaukee will rally around him. Sometimes when something terrible and unfortunate like that happens to a guy, it actually could bring out something incredibly positive in the end. And I hope that for Trent, and you know, just I can't express how bad I feel for the guy. It's just, it's so tough, and you know, clearly changed the game. And but there was a lot of other things that led up to that inning being extended. You know, the Zimmerman blue pit. You know, the weird Michael Taylor hit by pitch foul ball, whatever. I mean, it just, there was a lot of things leading up to that moment that won't get talked about because of the mishap by Grisham in the outfield.
By the way, real quick, Kurt, just because you see that all the time in the position that you're in, counsel said afterwards he hadn't taken a good look at it at that point when they were interviewing him, but felt like there were a lot of people telling him that it was bat arm. And so they kind of were maybe a little bit disputing it, but didn't have a good look. What was your takeaway?
And
was that the right call?
Yeah, I think it was the right call. You know, he choked up a lot on that bat. I don't know if anybody was talking about that, so he gave a little bit more surface area for the ball to hit. But, you know, the call in the field was that it was a hit-by-pitch, and that is the clear evidence of where, like, the baseline of the entire play, right? And if there's nothing to dispute it, nothing clear to dispute it, it's like every other, you know, NFL replay that you ever see. It's just the call on the field has to stand. And I didn't see anything from that perspective for, you know, that to be disputed or changed. But in that playoff instance, I think they got it right. And I think they, if they called a foul ball, that would have been pretty crazy. And, you know, those guys would have to answer for it. But at the end of the day, I think they made the right call. And unfortunately for the Brewers, it started a huge rally.
Cincinnati Reds catcher Kurt Casale on the line with us, talking a little baseball here. And Kurt, another thing that dawned on me watching that game was it was so much, it was just a souped up intense version, because it's winner take all, of what we've seen really all year long. Two pitchers throwing extremely hard, 97, yeah. 98, 99. But at the same time, every hitter is a threat to hit it out. It's such an interesting concept that goes on. It may not, you know, it's just different than what the game has been in the past, but that's what we've seen really all year long, and probably what we're going to continue to see in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, especially in that setting. I mean, the fact that Woodruff was able to go four for the Brewers was probably, you know, Craig Counsell's best situation, you know, with their pitching staff. They were just going to, you know, piece it together. And that's honestly, the Brewers are really tailored to that type of game. Like, I'm shocked that they lost, because it's just what they do. They're just, you know, they piece together things. And then when you get to the eighth inning, you got, you know, Hader coming in, and Hader was throwing much harder than he was at the end of the year as well, because, you know, the playoff juices are flowing. And, on the opposite side of it, you know, Scherzer was, you know, they ambushed him early, and I can't imagine that he thought that was going to happen. But, yeah, I don't know if I've seen Woodruff just sitting 99 like that and touching 100. I've faced him a bunch of times, and he throws hard, but never that hard. But I think the really interesting thing that maybe the fans are starting to notice is how often the Brewers and the Nationals, if you look at the catchers, how far up that they were trying to attack the zone. Normally it's like, you know, you want to stay at the bottom of the zone to get ground balls, and it's turned into the low ball actually is a much easier pitch to hit long, hit far, hit and elevate. And now it's hard to see what the elevated fastball at 99 probably has a perceived velocity of probably 105, which is much, much harder to square up. But, you know, Yasmani Grandal was at the top of the zone all night last night. I thought that was pretty cool, because it's something we did entire season too, and now maybe the rest of America can see that it's a definite trend going forward.
Yeah, it's definitely different than it was a generation ago. You wouldn't teach pitchers to try to aim for the top of the zone, but that is happening a lot for sure. Now, you guys, Kurt, for the Reds, have figured out some stuff with pitching. We talked about it last year with you, with Derek Johnson, a former Vanderbilt pitching coach, Caleb Cotham, who just got a big promotion for you guys. Sonny Gray has a great year for you. So just putting together a game plan pitching in the big leagues these days, with all the home run hitters out there and all that we're talking about here, what's the key? Like, where is the trend going? I think we're all curious to where it goes from here.
Well, if we just want to talk about it from our perspective, you know, we definitely were were trying to attack hitters with fastballs at the top of the zone and breaking balls under the zone. It's kind of just like the up and down mentality versus the East and West, because just from our staff's perspective, we didn't have a whole lot of guys that, you know, that moved the ball, that, you know, sank the ball. I mean, Sonny can do it a little bit into righties, and Luis Castillo, who had an unbelievable year, he's going to throw hard sinkers and changeups, but the majority of our staff, and bullpen included, they throw a straight fastball, so they try to get, you know, that high spin rate that, like I said before, has a higher perceived velocity than what it actually fires up on the radar gun. And that was just as simple as DJ and Caleb being able to identify the talent that we had, what type of pitches they have, what type of, you know, we call them RPMs, you know, on the baseball. You know, you could compare that to, you know, a car, if you will. But and it's just identifying how much you spin the ball, where your best spot to, you know, throw it and then have it dive off of that is, and just collectively put it all together to create and we did, a really, really great pitching staff and what most people or most fans in this league would say that Great American Ballpark is just not a pitcher-friendly ballpark. But, you know, they were able to identify that and create a really good staff this year. I was happy to be a part of it.
Kirk Casale here with us, Reds catcher. And I want to get your thoughts real quick, because I know you didn't see the Braves a ton, but you know the Cardinals quite well, having played them in the division. How is that lineup going to match up against the Braves' pitching rotation of Keuchel, Foltynewicz, and Soroka?
Let's see. I mean, so Keuchel's going game one, right?
Yep.
So you got right-handers like Goldschmidt, Osuna, Yadier Molina, Harrison Bader, Paul DeJong. I mean, I think at least for a lefty starter, the Cardinals really match up quite well. And that's not to say that a righty's going to, you know, give them fits, but I would say that, you know, their thump is in their right-handed lineup. But, you know, Keuchel's going to try and sink the ball on them. We didn't really have a left-handed sinker baller this entire year. So, you know, they I don't even know if they face many of them, because I would say our division is pretty right-handed starter dominant, but the way that the Cardinals are playing right now, it's, you know, you got to believe that they're going in with a lot of confidence. And, you know, obviously me being a fan of, catching, you got one of the best in the game back there to be able to dissect the lineup. And, you know, Yachty, I look up to that guy all the time. I mean, anytime I get a chance to, you know, get a snippet of information off of him, just like, you know, just speaking with him in the batter's box or something, I pay close attention to. So with a guy like that leading the charge, along with, you know, Jack Flaherty, Mikolas, and the rest of them, you know, with Martinez and Miller and those guys backing up the end of that bullpen, I like the Cardinals' chances. And we certainly didn't have a whole lot of success against them this year, and I can imagine them making a decent run this postseason.
Kurt, we would love to have you as kind of our insider for the playoffs if you're up for the task.
Yeah, no, I'd love to. I don't know if I'm technically allowed to do that, but hey, we can see what we got. I can at least guess for you.
Well, there is a warning that the pay sucks. Oh, so just want to let you know the pay
it
stinks.
Okay. All right.
But so we would love to have you on.
Playing the game first.
Just to talk about it, you know, but the pay is not very good. Stick to baseball.
That's okay. You guys don't need to pay me. I'm still in my winding down, you know, moments from the season. So this is a good way to cool down, if you will.
I like it. Hey, we would love to, in all seriousness, we would love to talk to you periodically through the Major League Baseball playoffs and get your insights. So thanks for doing this, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, that is Kirk Casale, Cincinnati Reds catcher and former Vanderbilt player, and we always enjoy our conversations with him. A lot of insights.
And he will be in Smashville tomorrow night for the opener.
Awesome. That's great.
He will be paying close attention to the gold jerseys. He's into it.
Well, that will not be the only time he'll be in attendance.
True.
He'll be in Bridgestone a lot during the offseason. All right, we'll come back, wrap up Wednesday's show next.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.